is the theme to the circus show on Showtime, which follows this presidential election campaign.
Such a great show.
Half an hour every week. Oh, my God.
It makes it fun, though. It isn't stressful to watch because it's the behind-the-scenes stuff that you don't get to see.
Right.
That's what I love.
Right. And you get to, and it's beautifully shot. It's very interesting. And Mark McKinnon is one of the three-headed monsters of this of this show, along with John Heilman and Mark Halperin. And I guess last week, when last we spoke, you told us on Sunday night you were going to do this piece about debate prep, and you took us back to Crawford, Texas, where you had prepared in the little church in Crawford, where you had prepared a very cantankerous George W. Bush for a debate, and then you actually went and sat with the people who played Al Gore and some of the other folks, and then what I loved is you guys, the three of you, sat around a table at a very Tony restaurant in Midtown, New York. A restaurant I've been trying to get into for like over a year and haven't been able to, and yet somehow you were able to find your way in, and you discussed what you thought was going to happen in this debate. Now, it was very similar speculation a lot of people had about, you know, is Trump going to come out? Is going to be the crazy Trump? Not the crazy Trump? Does he have the ability to the stamina to keep this up for 90 minutes? And what we saw was all of the above, right?
Yeah, we sure did. There was a lot of hype about the debate, and it lived up completely to the hype as we thought it. You know, it was the most watched television debate in history. It was pretty dramatic. You know, it was there was no knockout, but there was a lot of dynamics going on, and the stakes were huge. I mean, and what happened was, as a result of the performance, which we can talk about, is, I mean, just to cut to the chase. It really, the net effect is, I believe, that it will stall or has stalled the momentum that Trump had, which was fairly significant. As you know, I mean, he'd made up like a double-digit gap in many states and national polls. He'd really closed a gap that she'd run up since the convention. And I think that it's going to net out that it's arrested his momentum, and that's going to give her a bit of a bump. We're starting to see that in some of the real debate polls that are coming out. But I mean, tons to dissect from the debate. But here's the fun thing that you're going to see on the circus this week, which was, you know, we try and do something sort of thematically every week. And this week, what we decided to do was it's going to be called the newsrooms. And what we did is we decided we're going to view the whole week through newsrooms. So basically what I did on Monday at the debates was I embedded with Megyn Kelly. So I was with her. The rest of my crew was in her newsroom at Fox headquarters, and we sort of cut back and forth between, you know, everything that was happening. So you'd see the fascinating developments of not only the debate and what's happening in the debate, but how it was being covered on, you know, with Megyn Kelly, who was there at the debate and her newsroom covering it. So it's a really interesting perspective that we're going to provide.
I love that. Mark, also, I mean, when you take a look here, I'm so interested in what you think, because it was clear that Donald Trump was, the strategy was look presidential, don't go after her very hard the way you've gone after others in previous debates. Don't get into that Trump, but try to, you know, be this guy who can look the part for this debate. And afterwards, it seemed like his campaign and Trump himself said their biggest regret was, well, not regret, that next time, I don't know that we're going to do that. Next time, I think we might bring out some of the stuff because we're not going to let her get away with that. If you were advising Trump, would you say that he should get more down in the weeds, deep in the weeds next time? Should he lash out at Hillary Clinton more than he did the first time around?
Well, here's what I think. I think that I thought it was ironic that Donald Trump, before the debate and then during the debate, criticized and made fun of Hillary Clinton because she prepared for the debate.
Right.
And you know what? Yes, she did. No, he didn't. And it showed in a big way. You cannot wing a debate, a presidential debate. And that's what he did. And you can't wing the presidency. You know, he had a good first 30 minutes, the first third of the debate or so. He was pretty good. You know, on trade and jobs, he was in his wheelhouse and doing well, kind of got a little hit on the emails. But then after that, it just unraveled. I mean, on taxes, on women, on on the birther stuff. It was. I mean, it just spiraled completely out of control. And
so now, explain to us. I want to go back here, though, Mark, because I'm not savvy enough to understand how preparation would have helped him in that. They would have gamed all those things for him if he had sat there for 3 days practicing with them, so he wouldn't have said things like, I say nothing. That's I say nothing to them. Those kinds of things.
Yeah,
right?
Every single question. I mean, the whole taxes thing, which he said was smart that he didn't pay taxes. I don't think anybody advised that. First of all, on the tax issue, it was quite clearly revealed what I've suspected for a long time. There's been years where he's paid no federal income taxes. And you know what? That could be a campaign killer. I was in a campaign in 1990 in Texas with Ann Richards when the guy she was running against, same issue. We kept pushing him to release his taxes. He wouldn't. And right at the end of the campaign, he cracked and he admitted, and he was a millionaire. And he said, one year there was a bad patch in the oil business. And, I had a bunch of deductions. And I didn't pay any taxes. Everybody, the people that remember that race, he had this comment about rape and the weather and likening it to rape. Sometimes you just have to sit back and take it. Yeah. That's not what, that hurt him. But what killed him was the whole release of the taxes. He dropped 20 points overnight and Ann Richards won that race. Now, here's the thing. People don't mind if you have a bunch of tax lawyers and you do all you can to pay as little taxes as you can. And you kind of game the system. They get that, and that's okay. They do not get the notion that a billionaire does not pay any taxes when they have to. That's a fairness issue, and I think that that's going to be a problem. But the bigger problem, I think, is going to be for him is this whole issue of the Miss Universe deal. I think that story is getting big legs. He had to do better with women, and then he goes on and doubles down. Was it this morning or yesterday morning?
Yesterday morning on Fox, yeah.
Yeah, so yesterday morning he goes out, and not only is he, kind of reel that back and say, geez, it was 20 years ago. It was a stupid thing to say. I shouldn't have said it. He doubles down.
Right.
And so,
right.
What does he need right now? What demographic does he need? Women and Hispanics. So,
Right. Well, and speaking of Megyn Kelly, that woman, Ms. Machado, was on with Megyn Kelly last night. Megyn Kelly cut the interview short because she was hard to understand and kind of going off. Mm-hmm. She's got her own issues, and she seems to be clearly being used by the Clinton campaign to try mm-hmm. to try to draw attention here and try to be that, as you're pointing out, that exact embodiment, right, of his intolerance of women and or his mistreatment of women and all that. The thing was, and this is the part that got me in the debate, and again, this goes to preparation. I don't know that they would have gamed him for this, but when she started, and he started saying, "Where'd you get this from? Where'd you get this from?" Like he didn't know what it was, and then he doubles down the next morning to say,
"I thought that's a good catch," because I thought that was really interesting because, he was like, "Where did you get that? Where'd you find that?" Because it was clearly something that he had hoped nobody would find or that they found her. You could tell that that's the thing that initially really got to him. It was like, oh, my God, they found her,
But I remember it was kind of a story at the time that he was nasty to her.
Not that it wasn't a story at the time, but I think that he probably just thought maybe she disappeared off the radar screen and nobody had been able to find her. Mm-hmm. And you could see what was happening there is going, oh, my God, they found her. And, you could just kind of see the wheels clicking in his head.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to something that you did last week on your show on the circus, which was there was a moment where you went to the Bush Museum with George W. Bush. And it was actually a pretty great there was a panel discussion that you guys showed Bush introducing. And it appears that, like a lot of these presidential museums, and he's apparently spending some time at his own, they are places for panel discussions, intellectual debate about current issues and past issues and things like that. And there was some time you spent with him one-on-one. Did you? And I know the Bush rules, and this is the most fascinating thing. We talked about this with George H.W. Bush when he said that thing in an autograph or in a handshake line at a private event about Hillary Clinton, and then he got kind of taken aback. Are they being very careful, or the Bushes being very careful when they're out in public now to stay as completely out of this as they can?
Absolutely. I mean, it's been the hallmark of George W. Bush's post-presidency, which is very much like his father's, but even more so. I mean, he has aggressively stayed completely off the radar screen because he doesn't. I mean, first of all, he felt that Obama he feels like presidents should be able to govern without a past president kind of getting in their business. The other thing I think is that given what happened with Jeb and all that, I think it's pretty clear what the Bush family thinks.
Yeah, by
about
Donald Trump.
About what's going on today, but they're very diplomatic, you know, and that's their style. They just, you know, they said we'll express our opinion quietly, and that's why I was so sad to see that handshake thing with 41, because he's such a honorable and respectful guy, and for that to get out the way it did was really, you know, it was embarrassing, and I felt bad for him. And then, you know, I think the Trump campaign did they didn't need to say a thing, but instead they overreacted and made fun of his age.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, one of the most respected guy in American politics by people in American politics. And that presidency, yeah, although only 4 years, it was not a horrifying moment for America. There's been a lot of politically motivated revisionism about what happened in the aftermath of 2001. And now, you know, this debate about Iraq, you know, 60 Minutes did a piece in January of 2003 that basically prosecuted the case for the invasion of Iraq, no less than CBS News. And it was, you know, with the imprimatur of all the executives at CBS News, they were using was it flawed data? It was what they had at the time. You can talk to Colin Powell about it today. The data they had at the time, they saw those missile silos. Hussein was attempting to move things around. It was doing a shell game so that we would be confused about what it was. And I think that people just had enough and said, we got to do something about this. This guy's dangerous, and he's a dangerous actor in this already very dangerous this part of the world. And if we can isolate Iran by having a foothold in Afghanistan and Iraq, which are the two bordering countries on the east and the west, that you know, maybe there is some way that we can stabilize the Middle East. It was a policy that eventually did fail. We didn't understand the resistance. We didn't prosecute the war exactly the way that we probably should have. But to use it for Donald Trump, especially to be using it, the hawkish nature. This is a guy who wants to steal the oil from Iraq and then say he's opposed to the war. It's just the height of lunacy.
That's interesting. I didn't know about that CBS deal, but you know, at the Bush Center, where I was last week and part of the show was from, at the library, they have this kind of simulation room where they give you four big decisions. One of them's Katrina, but one of them's Iraq. And that's what they do. They kind of give you all the information that the president had at the time and, you know, the military people and all the people. And they ask you to make the decisions given the information that they had. And, you know, of course, you know, 95% of the people that they do the simulation make the same decision the president made.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's when you have that in front, when you have the data in front of you, the way they saw it. All right, Mark, I can't wait for Sunday. Thank you again. We'll talk to you next
week. Thank you, Mark.
I think it's going to be a special one. Check it out.
All right. What do we do?
You kick it
hard. Bye.
Yeah.
Kick it hard.
All right. He's the guy with the hat. All right, Violetta, WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.